What was that, huh? What was that, huh? Aliens living in your town. All right, guys. No intro song this week. It's the Weird Whatever crew. How's everybody doing? Give me a howl if you can hear me.
Oh. Ooh.
It's been a minute, weirdos. It's been a minute. I hope you guys have been safe and keeping sane during these weird times.
100%.
Yeah, doing your best, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I know. We're all sick of all that. Hey, all right. What are you doing during the quarantine? What are you eating? Let's just get right into it. Vicky, I want to get your opinion on this one. I got a bunch of emails from people, and I'm kind of summarizing them all, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it when I say these are people who want to go see a psychic medium. They want to go do something with the psychic, but their religion frowns upon that. Whether it's in the scripture or whether it's their family, they are having a lot of guilt dealing with the idea of seeing a psychic medium. What's your opinion on something like that?
Well, anybody who's ever heard my story knows that I had a religious conflict. I was brought up Baptist. My mom did not like the fact that I had ability and didn't want me to advertise and practice at it. And I stopped for a while. Then I started doing it again because it is who I am. And I know it's not from an evil place. Actually, one of the listeners emailed me directly, and part of my response to her was the fact that depending on what religion you're talking about, for me, if you're looking at the Baptists, we use the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. So you will find in the Old Testament things that are forbidden and things that are explicitly stated that you should not do. There is a contradiction in what it says in the New Testament. And that is true of psychic ability. It's completely opposite of the Old and the New Testament, all combined in the same book. And the way I kind of said it to her, I said, it's kind of like when you play the telephone game, and the way it started isn't exactly the way it ends up at the end. The Bible has been translated, written, retranslated, and different versions. They were all done by man. So those people who are religious and believe that that is God's word, I would say somewhere along the way, there must have been some problem with some translations because you have one testament almost completely denying the other testament.
So what's the knock for, so if you're someone saying I can't do it because of religious reasons, what are these religious people saying why you shouldn't do something with the psychic? Where's the conflict for the religious person?
Well, in the Old Testament, it states that you should not do any kind of, I think in some versions, they even call it sorcery, calling up spirits, looking into the future. Now, in the New Testament, it says that the discernment of spirit, which is what I have, discernment of spirit, is actually a gift and it comes directly from God. One thing that the Old and New Testament have in common is the word practicing, which, depending on your interpretation, would mean, say, if I actively used devices or some type of instrument that was going to help me in my reading. That's where, quote unquote, practicing and using tools comes in. And my response to anybody who's scared about talking to a psychic medium, if it's against their religion, don't do it. I mean, if it's against your religion and you really feel that it's a conflict with how you've been raised, don't get a reading. It's like I say to everybody, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Everybody doesn't have to call and
That's
talk to me.
what I say about my personality, Vicky. I say I'm not everybody's cup of soda. I get it. I completely understand. Yeah, so it's interesting to hear the struggle when it comes to religion. Did anybody raise your hand in the chat room or on the forum here who came from a religious background, like a very religious background? Did anybody hear? Okay, Beckett. So what was your religious background? What did it consist of? Are we talking church every Sunday? Are we talking prayers every night before the meal?
Yeah, when I was really young, we were at church every Sunday. People were raised Episcopalian. I went to Catholic high school at Pope John Paul in Boca, and
Thank you.
My dad is not the religious type unless you start talking to him about it. Then you fully appreciate how religious he is. My mom's a little bit more laissez-faire with the religion. And it was a big part of it. But as I've got older, my parents were not as intense about it. So I don't know. It's always an undercurrent in my life. But I'm kind of like how Vicky explained it. I couldn't agree with Vicky more in that, you know, do what you want. Like, well, not everyone's cup of tea, but so long as you're not hurting anyone else, like that's kind of my litmus test, if you will. And where I socially fall, you know, you
but
should
that's, go ahead. So that's an easy thing to say if you come from a family that's like, okay, Beckett, do your thing. But there's some families where it's even as an adult, it's still very close knit, and they are, that they know everything about each other, and people in that family are scared to do something as an adult, which is kind of a weird thing if you have been living as an adult and you don't live under your family's law.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And that's one of the things that I try to check my own self and say that I grew up in kind of a little blue strip liberal in terms of like East, Southeast Florida. And I've done a lot of traveling, you know, in the Midwest and the Bible Belt. And you understand and appreciate, at least I did, how different culturally a lot of the United States can be. So even though I was raised, to your point, Jay Bird, religiously, it's a great point that I was allowed to kind of blossom however I might be. And that's how Denny's was, how he's explained, how he was kind of let, his parents were really good about allowing him to kind of explore whichever way he wants. So in terms of the religious thing, I don't know how to answer that, because I think I would describe it as lucky in terms of how my parents raised me in terms of going into whatever direction I wanted.
Bird, you said you were raised very religious. Now, was that from your parents or was that a personal thing?
No, I went to Pope John Paul as well. I went to, I was a Lutheran growing up. So, hold on, sorry. Do you guys hear that feedback? Is that better?
Big time. Yes.
Yeah. Is that better? Okay.
Bernie, are you able to turn your volume down just a hair?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
All good.
Is that a little bit better?
Yep.
Okay. So I grew up Lutheran. So I went to church almost every Sunday, got confirmed. I did all that stuff. I went to a Catholic high school, the same as Beckett. And I think growing up, my parents were very much like the Bible is a guideline. It's not the exact word. And I know that changes in between different Christian religions, but I think that kind of shaped, you know, my beliefs and everything, because I think the whole idea is if you believe in an all loving God, then you shouldn't like people shouldn't be capable of loving someone more than God should. So in different aspects of my life, I think that's been, you know, a key model to look at.
I guess my question is, Beckett, what happened? I mean, good boys gone bad? Is that what happened?
Well, you know, Catholic boys and Catholic girls tend to have a infamous urban legend. Maybe some people think it's true. Maybe some people think it's false, of actually being the real naughty ones. And I think that
you naughty, Beckett?
Well, you guys have heard
you're
how
naughty.
I feel
about sex
robots. You're not. You're a naughty boy. You're naughty.
Bad.
But there's some theory, like the parents that are the most strict sometimes have the most rebellious kids, right? And the parents that allowed their kids to have a glass of wine at 16, they were the ones that know how to drink responsibly. And the ones that were like, oh, you can't have a beer until you're 21. And even then, I don't know. They're the ones that go off the deep and go a little crazy. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And, you know, I haven't read any peer-reviewed studies on that, but in my experience with my friends and myself, I think that's good. And I'm biased and in terms of how my parents raised me, but I think that it was a good balance of having.
I'm not gonna lie, my mom was very against drinking. Even when you turned age, she was like, you had to watch that drinking. And look at me, I mean, I lead the league in whiskey consumption. So I see what you're saying.
That's a big part of Italian culture, right? Is like having a glass of wine.
Not in the Penningtons.
Yeah.
My mom was so against it, man.
Even wine?
Oh, my mom was against anything alcohol. Anything alcohol. It was it wasn't, she wasn't only against it. She hated it. But I think a lot of that had to do with her childhood and her background and, you know.
Did she drink?
No, she, well, I mean, she drank as a kid, but she was, you know, she was raised on alcohol. So there was a whole thing with that, you know, real uplifting topic.
Yeah.
Thanks, Beckett. All right, I'm going to go read you this email. I thought this was pretty fascinating. It says, hey, guys, this question's for you, Jay Bird, but I do want to preface, I'd like everyone's opinion on this, but it says, hey, guys, this question's for you, Jay Bird, because I heard you talk about this happening to you before. Wanted to get your opinion. My dad died 2 months ago. I've been struggling. The other day, I was singing his favorite song, It Never Rains in Southern California. That's a jam, by the way. Just let you guys know that. It popped in my head out of the blue, so I started singing it. 5 minutes later, I get in my car, and the song comes right on the radio. It's kind of an obscure and old song, so I felt like it had some significance. What do you all think? Was my dad sending me a message, or am I just reaching because I'm grieving? Monica from Pompano. Now, I have had a situation where it was about 11:30 at night, and I had my buddy over, and I'm playing him this song, my mom's all-time favorite song. And as I am playing the song, my computer dies because it was dead. The battery ran out. So I remember taking the computer, putting it on the side of my bed. My buddy took off. About 3:30 in the morning, my computer blasts on. It comes back on, wakes me up. It was really, really loud with that same song playing. And I always thought that was odd because the computer, it was dead. The battery was gone. So I was kind of groggy, closed the computer back up. Didn't think too much of it because I went right back to sleep. I get right in the car that day, and the first song on the radio was the same song that I was telling my friend about that came on the laptop. So, you know, I always thought that was a message from my mom, but even if it wasn't, it's a little bit of hope to hold on to. I think that's something special. Vicky, you know about signs and messages. Do you think what that email said, does that sound like a sign from the dad?
It could be. I mean, my first question was, were they listening to Sirius XM? Because I hear that song all the time on Sirius. So,
Vicky.
remember, I always go from the logical side first, and then I look to see if it's something paranormal. So again, I would have to look at what they were listening to. I think a sign is anything you want to interpret as a sign. I think if you take comfort in the fact that you think that it was a sign that song came on, then take comfort with it. I've had this thing lately with dragonflies landing on me, and people are like, oh, what spirit is that? To me, it's just a dragonfly. It's kind of cool that it feels comfortable enough to come so close to me. That's really cool, but I mean, okay. I personally don't think it's a person.
But let's strip away all that. It can be what you want it to be. The ending is what you want it to be. Let's skip all that and let's just go through the panel right now, starting with you, Denny's. Denny's, do you believe in signs?
I mean, I guess it's hard for me to say I do because I haven't really experienced any signs. I think it's kind of like when you hurt your leg, right? And then everything that day keeps hitting your same spot in your leg. And you're like, man, everything keeps hitting my leg, you know? Or if you're sunburned and you're like, everything keeps touching my skin. It's because you're aware of it. So you're more likely to pick up on things that are coincidental, you know? You're more likely to draw attention to something like that. And that could lead to an interpretation of a sign. And if it happens one more time in your life, then, I mean, you're like, oh, it has to be because it's happened now multiple times. But it could also be the word coincidence, you know, it's a tough one.
So
I think it's from personal, man. I think if you can attach something to something, then it does become something.
Okay. You know? So Dennis, if you're looking up at the sky and you see a UFO out there, okay. For example, some people look at that UFO and it gives them hope. They think that there's something greater out there. Then some people look at that sign and say, you know what? We're all alone. We're all alone because no one's going to help us from this alien attacking us. So I guess the question for you, Denny's, is what kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person that sees signs?
I love how you're quoting the movie Signs.
One of his favorites.
I was paraphrasing.
We played a game on air, and they asked the question, what's Bird's favorite movie? And I said Signs, and that was incorrect because it was Karate Kid. But you quote Signs so much that I thought it was your favorite damn movie.
I'm a fan of a movie with a cornfield in it. Cornfields are horrifying. I really do. I think getting chased in a cornfield might be the worst thing ever. With someone with an axe chasing you, I'd rather go through the woods.
Yeah, at least you could hide behind stuff. You ever
I've been in the woods. Never been in a cornfield.
Yeah, cornfields are scary because you can't see. I mean, they're tall. You can't see in front of you. I mean, anything obstructs your view like that. The forest is also scary, man. People can lurk behind trees, easily captive, trap set, any of the above.
Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees.
Look at Beckett.
The only one laughing is you, Beckett.
Per usual. But David, you have the red cardinal, right? And I actually, you know, Denny and I tend to trend more skeptic, but I tend to believe that what Denny says is true, can be true, but both at the same time can be true. Sometimes you're more cognizant of something happening, but it also could be a sign. And I used to not believe in any kind of that stuff. And the older I get, as I've said before on the show, the best way I can describe it, sometimes things become too coincidental to be a coincidence. And that's the best way I can describe it. And I sometimes wish I was, or often wish I was more spiritual than I am. Sometimes I wish I could appreciate a piece of art more than I do, or a glass of wine more than I do. But when I think about that, I'm like, wow, like, that makes certain situations that have happened in my life, I'm like, that makes me feel more spiritual. So if it serves a purpose and it's not actually your loved one reaching back through the red cardinal, then that's fine. And that's great also. But if it is, it could be a coincidence. And maybe that's what spirits recognize, that you're going to appreciate it. Like Denny's point, the coincidence and that sore spot on your leg that you keep bumping, maybe that's the way that they know they're going to like finally get to you.
Well, is it possible too, Vicky, that Denny says he doesn't see any signs? I've never experienced signs, bro. I think that's what he said, something along those lines. But is it possible one could be ignoring signs? I know we've spoke upon this before, but maybe we are all going through life just ignoring signs that are in our face. And I'm not saying they are, you know, the ever changing your life type of signs, but maybe they are something to make your life go a little bit smoother. Vicky, thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you don't believe in magic, you're never going to experience magic. Same difference. If you don't believe in signs, you know, you can have a series of 10 events that are bam right in your face. But if you don't believe in signs and you're not thinking of it in that context, you've just missed them.
All right. Chat room, do me a favor right now. If you're listening in our YouTube chat room, do you believe in signs or no way? All coincidence. There ain't nothing magical going on. Bird, you're watching too many damn alien movies. Birdney, are you the kind of person that believes in signs? What type of person are you?
I would say so. I mean, I think sometimes depending on what's going on in the world, I fall either optimistic or pessimistic towards things like that. But I think, you know, the mind's a curious thing. I think you've mentioned before how, you know, like when someone's dying and they say like they're seeing a relative, you ask yourself, okay, is this actually like a miracle happening? Is this really the afterlife? Is this the brain protecting you? You almost wonder, because I feel like a lot of the times where I felt like there was a sign, that was at a low point in my life. And I wonder if like my brain was just picking up on things that would make me happy, or if it was actually a sign. So I'm kind of in between.
So Vicky, I have a story from my sister. She got what she calls an unbelievable psychic reading over the telephone. Now, she was really struggling with my mom's death and just needed some comfort. And she swears by this one reading over the phone. Now, this was a reading where the woman didn't take any money. My sister tried to hang up the phone a couple times. The woman said, well, hold on. She kept on asking questions to my sister, keeping her on. And, you know, again, never took a cent from it. And my sister said it was a 100 Rotten Tomato score type of a reading, and that was through a phone. Can you kind of explain to the audience how this works when it comes to giving a psychic reading through technology?
If a spirit is going to talk, they're going to talk, whether I'm sitting in front of somebody or I am on the telephone. I do them through text and Facebook messaging, where I don't even hear the person's voice. If a spirit's going to talk to you, they're going to talk to you.
So technology has nothing to do with getting the message mixed up. You can do full on real psychic readings with somebody and they don't even have to be in the same room.
Absolutely not. I mean, because technically the psychic is the one who's in touch with the spirit. Okay. So the spirit, if they know you're talking to this person, they're going to come and they're going to give you messages and they're going to show you signs and things like that. I haven't found there to be any difference. In fact, a lot of people say, well, I really want to meet you in person. Is it a better reading? And I'm like, no, I mean, it's the same. If you're going to get a good reading, you're going to get it the same, whether I'm talking to you on the phone, I'm face to face with you, or I'm texting you.
You know what, Vicky? I'm glad to hear you say that, because I got a little game we can play here. Not game, but just an activity, if you shall. Let's go ahead and give a little impromptu reading on me. Because I know some people want to see you in action and work a little bit. And if I was to go ahead and say, Vicky, I'm Zooming you. I'm in my living room. You're in yours. How would me and your little reading go here?
Well, if I were doing a regular reading on you, what I offer the people who call me, as I say, if there's anybody in particular you want to know more about, living or deceased, you can send me their picture, because that's just the fastest way for your time for me to zone in. But I do have to stop here, because I do think you're missing. I think you have been having dreams that you are not remembering. I think it's either your mom or it's Ann, one or the other, because it's a very strong female. But they've been trying to communicate with you through dreams. And there's a specific message that they're, and I feel like it's more like of something that you're going through now, that they're trying to be a little more uplifting, or basically, to be honest, kick you in the butt a little bit. And I think you're missing it.
Well, do you know what that is?
It's something having to do with your life. And I feel like you're missing it. It's coming in your dreams.
But okay, that's kind of a little vague. What are they? Is it about love? Is it about health? Is it about friendship?
I think a big part of it has to do with your self-esteem as tied into your career, and things that you want to do in regards to your career that you haven't been able to jump forward in the way that you should. Of course, if it were one of your relatives, this is a logical one. They probably want to, you know, kick in to you finally finding a partner so that you can not be alone too. But that's just logical, because, you know, we're talking about you.
Believe me, Vicky, I'm doing quite fine as a solo act. Okay, interesting. So you talk about the career thing. Yeah, I think I do want to make a move. I think I want to try to get in professional wrestling. I think I'm quitting my job. I'm quitting my job at the KVJ show, and I think I'm becoming a wrestler.
Does wrestling have clown rodeo things? Do they have that in wrestling?
Clown rodeo thing? Why, are you seeing that in the future?
He's gonna make.
No,
it.
I'm just wondering, because that's more what I see if you're going into wrestling.
No, I'm not going into wrestling, but that's interesting. So, for example, if I was doing this reading, which we are doing right now, I'm gonna have more questions for you, because to me that's slightly vague. What?
Well, the reason I'm not being more specific is because we're on the air. And because you do have a job, and there may be some people at KVJ who are watching. So that's one of the reasons why I personally am not telling you more than what I am.
Is Vicky talking shit about Kevin in Virginia?
Causes some drama.
Wow. Vicky comes in here and stirs it up with her psychic abilities. You're interesting. Okay, let's jump from career. What do you see in the love department here?
You know, originally when I first came on the Weird Whatever, I believe I gave you a time frame of 4 to 6 years before, and you're pushing the 4 year one now. So I'm still going to keep with that time span of 4 to 6 years till you find somebody. To be honest with you, I don't see a marriage any within that 4 to 6 years.
Now that I agree with.
But I do see. But I do see. I'm still going to stick with my original 4 to 6 years. Which, what have we been on the air? Has it been 3 or 4?
3.
I don't remember.
2017.
Okay. So, yeah. You still have a little bit of time. But I don't see it as a marriage. But I see it as finally getting somebody who can actually understand and put up with the quirks and all the things that make you you.
Is that insulting?
I'm being nice as I can.
Damn. Okay, what do you see with Denny's over there? Looking all quiet.
Denny's is too chill. I've said before, Denny's is just too chill. I think that him and Jen, I do see, I would say, a child within the next 2 to 3 years. I'm not seeing it any sooner than that, but I'm seeing it somewhere along the timeline of 2 to 3.
Looking at Beckett, what do you see with that cat?
Oh gosh.
he might be in more trouble than I am. I think
actually, we say it as a joke, but I think to a certain degree, I think Beckett does have some commitment phobias and issues. No. But I do want to tell people, because people in the past have said that it looks like I just want to smack him when we're on the air. No, I want to state for everybody to know, listen, I truly believe that Beckett is a really good guy. I truly believe. I think he has a great heart. I think that I think he's a really kind person. I think that he would do anything for anybody. I do think he wants to play a little while longer. So I think that anybody who is thinking that they can nail him down anytime soon, I don't think so. I think he's still looking to play a little bit.
Interesting.
Oh. Pretty on point. Remember, I told everyone that I was going through a bad breakup and I didn't tell Vicky what was going on. And she's like, I need a photo. And I brought a photo of the girl I was dating at the time. And she told me something. She was nervous about telling me. And I have to say, she was 100%, when I say 100%, 100% on point. And that on pointness wasn't in that moment that she told me, and just because she didn't know what was going on. That on pointness was retrospectively, like 6 months later. So when she told me at the time, and it wasn't, you know, sometimes mediums give you certain things that make you feel good, warm and fuzzies, ambiguous kind of things. It wasn't ambiguous and it wasn't feel good. And 6 months later, I look back on the conversation I had with Vicky. And I don't even believe most of it or any of it was on air. I was like, oh my gosh, she was 100% on point with that. So that was amazing. And I know I'm the resident skeptic with Denny's, but that was one of the reasons my inflection point a little bit when I became a little bit more of a believer and open-minded.
I love how you go, Vicky, you're spot on tonight. Spot on. That's because she said nothing but great things about you.
What do you mean? She says I have a fear of commitment.
Oh, Beckett's got a big heart. Oh, Beckett.
What do you say you have a big heart too. Our readings are a little bit of the same. Soldiers over here.
baby cakes, I'm just playing with you. What do you see for our lovely Bergney?
Oh, that's not good.
She's a bit of a Rubik's Cube, isn't she?
Oh my God.
She's a bit of a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah. I do. Here's the problem is when I know someone too much, I feel like the information I am giving is like cheating. Okay. I think, and this is just from knowing her the little bit that I do, she's very headstrong. And sometimes that can get her in trouble. Sometimes it holds her back from things that she should be doing just because she kind of rushed in like a bull in a china shop every once in a while. I think that we know we've talked about that she has some anxieties and, you know, things like that. I think for the most part, you don't externally show them as much as you're internally dealing with them. So eventually, you know, I just think that's going to be an issue if they become too intense. But I think right now you're doing a fairly good balance between how you express them and how you deal with them internally. You and I have spoken before about future and romance and things like that. So I don't see anything right now. But if you want to send me a picture, I will let you know.
I got nothing.
Can I ask you? Thank you. Thank you for the quick readings, Vicky. We appreciate it. What, Beck? Can you have something?
Can I ask you a question? So for myself, for our panel, and for the audience, Vicky, when you give a reading, is that something that's like predestined in stone, or do you think that sometimes you can give if there's a reading that you give one of us or someone in the public that I might be scared of? I might be like, I don't want to be that guy, and that we can make changes. Like, what you're reading, is that in stone? Or based on what you say, can we get divergent from that in a positive or negative way, per se?
If I'm telling somebody a possible version of a future event, I phrase it exactly like that. This is a possible version of a future event. The shorter time period I put on it, the more accurate it's going to be, because it gives you less time to change the course that you're on. I also tell everybody when I first get on the phone to take whatever I say with a grain of salt. In other words, I don't pretend like I know everything. I am not the all-seeing, all-knowing Oz. I tell you something. The only thing that I tell people is if I tell you a medical thing and I tell you to go to a certain doctor, do it. Because that one's pretty on point.
Tomorrow morning when I go and do the morning show and Kevin and Virginia go, so Vicky wants you to leave the show. I'll say, guys, take it with a grain of salt.
Well, that's not what I said. Not exactly what I said.
I'm kidding. I'm stirring it up too. Go ahead, Vicky.
And another thing too, and this came up this week with somebody who's been messaging me. She's actually in England and she has been messaging me quite often. And she freaked out because she goes in all these psychic rooms where they do the free readings and stuff. And she was freaking out because somebody said something and she's like, oh my God, is this going to happen? I said, I'm telling you right now, not everybody that's a psychic or a medium is correct. I said, myself included. So you need to make sure that you're not taking all of this as gospel and planting it in your brain and making it a self-fulfilling prophecy. Just because someone has said something, if you obsess over it, you can make it happen. Right. Usually that happens when it's something bad as opposed to something good. But you have to, you know, a lot of these sites, it'll say for entertainment purposes only. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. And if I were to get something negative during a reading, trust me, I'm going to spend the time with you to basically have a therapy session about it to make sure, because I have an obligation. If I see something super, super negative, I do have to tell you in the nicest possible way, but I will be there to counsel you through it. And I do have a minor in psychology.
So I do want to explore what this message Anne or my mom's trying to get. If you say that there's a message trying to be sent to me, I would like to know what that is.
Why don't you, after the show, text me a picture of each of them separately, and I will see if I can get the exact message.
All right.
Okay. I have curiosity, Vicky, for myself and for the audience. What does the picture do that helps you with that reading?
It just helps me connect to the person faster, especially now I can connect to the living around you a lot faster without a picture. If it is a deceased person, I've analyzed it as maybe there's so many deceased people waiting to speak to me that I need to zone in on which one's actually talking, and having the picture helps me zone in. It also helps me during a reading because I will look at the picture and I will tell you what that person's personality was like. And in order, so then at that point, I've validated with the person I'm reading that I am actually speaking to that person. Like, I will come out with phrases that they might say. I will tell you their personality. I will tell you, a lot of times I get physical ailments, I'll tell you how they passed. And that's just that cement to show that that is the person that I'm speaking to. So when the message comes through, I've already validated it.
That's great.
Very, very good stuff. I think we are now going to all just take a deep breath, take in the messages, grab your loved ones if they're here hanging around. That's good. Feels good. No, that was great stuff, Vicky. Thank you for doing that. I love it. I love it a lot. Awesome. If someone wants to get a hold of you to do a second reading, what? How do they get a hold of you?
The easiest way is contact@pointparanormal.com. Just so you know, I just had somebody call me right before the show. I don't know where they got my number, but somebody gave them the number. I am booked up this month. I'm booking into the second week of June. So if you are contacting me, just be patient because now it's pretty much going to be the second week of June.
I love it. Well, I think after that beautiful reading, I think it might be time for some Denny's
random
facts. All right. Good job, team.
It's so disorienting.
Well, as always, Vicky and Birdney, they're both educators here, right?
Oh, yes.
Vicky, you're going to be giving Denny's a grade after each factoid. Now, if Denny's has a great factoid, we give him an A. If it's shit, sorry, Denny's, it's a fail. Denny's, you get the floor.
The first one's for you, Bird, because you brought up whiskey earlier. Let's see. In the 1800s, Americans drank on average 90 bottles of whiskey per year, or 1.7 bottles per week. This was because at the time, whiskey was sold at 25 cents a gallon, making it cheaper than beer, wine, tea, coffee, and even milk in some cases.
That's probably what the message from Aunt Anna, my mom, is. Bird, put down the whiskey.
They have the sauce.
But what do you think of that average? That's 1.7, so that's a bottle, like a bottle and a half.
That's a lot of whiskey.
Bottle and a half a week.
That's a shit ton of whiskey.
I'm going to give that one. It was interesting, but you're starting kind of sluggish. I'm going to go with a C.
I kind of felt the same way, Vicky. I wasn't that impressed either, and I'm a whiskey lover.
Well, you're a Denny's lover, too. So, those two things combined, it should have been an A+, but hey, you missed it.
You know, being honest. I don't know, Denny's. Not starting off great, kid. Here we go.
Let's see. what do you guys think about this? And what do you think about this concept possibly being adopted? In Switzerland, applications for citizenship are decided at the municipal level. Hence, if your neighbors find you to be too annoying, they can actually vote to deny you citizenship.
Gosh, I wish we could do that here.
Mm-hmm.
I could see where that could be a problem, though, because I could see how racist people could be like, well, they're black, or like, oh, they're from this country, or they're Muslim. And I could see how people could skew that based on your neighborhood.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing to do. I was talking about the woman that yelled at me for putting something in her dumpster. She comes to my house, Beckett, just to tell me, knocks on my door, just to let me know I'm not allowed to use the dumpster by her area.
You didn't put dog poo in there, did you?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, that would have been...
Why would she even care?
Yeah, I mean, it's public domain.
If I thought it was like her trash can. I was going to say, if you put dog poop in my trash can, I'm going to be like...
No, it's the public dumpster where 9,000 people... She saw me go across my little area, put the trash there because mine was full, and she comes over, knocks on my door, and goes, you need to use your own dumpster. That dumpster's for the people who live in section A through Z. I'm like, what? Great. It's madness over here, Beckett.
I'm in real estate, and I can't stand HOAs.
Oh!
I can't stand HOAs. I have a lot of clients from, like, Midwest, like Kentucky, Lexington, Tennessee. They go, you mean to tell me I gotta pay money for someone to tell me what I can and cannot do? And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. And that's how I look at HOAs. They have their own personality. Some are great. Some are horrible.
Were you doing the low budget Matthew McConaughey there?
Or Sling Blade?
What was that?
I am the low budget Matthew McConaughey.
Do that accent again. Do that again.
You mean to tell me that I'm going to pay someone to tell me what I can and cannot do?
Vicky, give that a grade. What's that? What's the accent?
Now, see, my parents are from Kentucky. That one's like a D.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's actually a compliment. I'll tell you why. Because I was born in Huntington, West Virginia, right on the border of Ohio. So I'm right there. I used to have a twang when I was a kid, and then I was moved to Boca, and it was shocked out of me.
See, to me, if you're going to do country, I would do more of a southern draw like this. kind of more like that.
A little foghorn, a leghorn.
Yeah, I say
foghorn, leghorn. What a gem we have lost. That was great.
All right, we're getting off topic here. Denny's, here we go.
I don't know. I want to talk HOAs here for a second. Let's see here. So, have you guys ever heard of the Haast Eagles?
Yeah, well, Denny's, everybody has.
Yeah, all right. So, here, yeah. Let me just explain the Haast Eagles to you guys. Well, according to legend in New Zealand, there were giant eagles that could catch prey up to 510 pounds. They had wingspan that was 10 feet wide. They went extinct around the 1400s. What do you guys think about that crazy ass eagle?
That was your fact?
Well, have you big ass eagle? Big ass eagle?
That sounds like
it's just the way you presented it. I thought you were going to like say something.
There was more
about it. Yeah, you left it hanging.
It fell a little short, Vic. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
I was going to tag it into, have you guys heard of the overkill theory? But it's cool. I see you guys don't like the eagle facts. I'll move on.
No, you just left me hanging. There wasn't enough.
Baby, we wanted more eagle. We wanted more.
Well, so I read a long time ago, there's this book called, and I think I've referenced it in the past, Guns, Germs, and Steel. And it essentially outlines how different civilizations developed based on those three things, weirdly. It all ties in. I'm not going to get too deep on it. But in there, they state the overkill theory, which was when man first, or human, or people kind, first started separating from the origin spot and they went out to islands, there were giant versions of animals that went extinct quickly. And because they had no fear of humans yet, because they hadn't come across them, that they were farmed to death. So that's the overkill theory. And they think that the Haast Eagle was a victim of that as well. Full circle.
I liked it, Denny's, but Vicky's got a look on her face like, bitch.
Well, I mean,
I get it.
It was better as he went along, but I'm sorry. You're like stuck in Seville.
Damn, Denny's. Damn. I would have given you an A, kid.
Trying to pass this class here.
Where's the study that says that animals are more prone to be more comfortable if they've never seen you before? I feel like that's the opposite. I feel like when they've been around you longer, they're more comfortable. With anything in life, I see something I've never seen before, I'm not going to be like, oh, hey, let me go pet it. I'm going to be very hostile at first. I'm going to be like, what is that thing? I don't want to go near it. So
that's a great point, Denny's. I got an answer for that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So even hostile animals had not come across humans yet, and not knowing that humans are dexterous and can make weapons and such, they were being hunted to death because they had developed their own system for killing and protecting themselves. And now you have this new variable in, and some of the animals that were very dangerous to other animals in the area, humans were more dangerous to them because they could be hunted by us and they had no retaliation.
Like, I feel like the animals would be like, I'm not getting near you till I know you a little bit more. It's weird to me that they would get so close to them and then die.
Well, I think you're referring to like domesticatable animals. These would be like wild animals.
Any wild animals. Like, they say don't feed the ducks because then they become reliable on you.
Well, they become dependable on you feeding them.
Yeah, and then like they trust you. You know, I don't think when you first go there, they're going to come up to you.
Well, think human, like, all right, so tying it into squirrels, we're talking about squirrels, how squirrels now, they come up to humans because they expect us to feed us and they become reliable on it. Ducks, the same sense.
But they weren't before
because we've trained them to. So before they had fear of us, they did not have fear of us because they weren't trained to be afraid of us yet. If you raise your hand to an animal and hit it in the face a couple of times, it's going to start recognizing that symbol as an attack move. These animals had never seen humans before, never seen any tactics of humans.
Get that popcorn. They have no way of popcorn out. Got a weird whatever fight going on.
But are you? It's a check it out. The overkill.
I have to look it up. I just feel like animals wouldn't be like, hey, what's up when they first see a human. I feel like they would be very standoffish at first. That's why I'm just confused.
Yeah.
Can we isolate this clip and put in all caps, epic fight on weird and whatever?
Yeah, just check it out. The overkill theory. I think it's the reason we don't have the giant lizards anymore. They are all killed off because
they're people now.
They became the
lizard people.
The lizard peeps.
I think that Denny's deserves an A, and I'll tell you why. Because it's one thing to know a fact. It's another thing to have the context around the fact that he can go and deliver defense of that said fact. That's impressive. Whether he's right or wrong, that's up for debate. But the fact that he can actually defend it and give context outside of that one-liner, to me, that's impressive. That's him doing his homework.
Oh, thanks, and
I'm going to defend Beckett defending Beckett, and I'm going to tell you why right now. So here's the reason. No, I'm just kidding. All right, keep going, Dennis. You're getting talking. You're getting people talking here. It's good.
What do you guys think of this? There were computers at the Soviet train stations that would randomly freak out, and none of them could figure out why until one guy eventually traced it to them transporting livestock that was brought from the Ukraine, where Chernobyl left cows with so much radiation that if they were near electronics, it would bug them out. Pretty wild.
I love how you sell it.
Every time I say a fact, I have to flick back to you guys from my page that I'm reading. So I look for the reactions.
I'll bump that one up to a B.
Damn, is that because you feel bad, Vicky? Or
no, it reminded me of 90 Day Fiance because they've had a couple things in the Ukraine, so I had made a personal connection. That's
okay. Basically it. So some people are calling you out, Vicky, saying you're falling asleep during it. I mean, I thought it was great, Denny's. You know what? Screw the haters, Denny's. Screw the haters, kid.
All right. Let's see.
Well, my question would be into that one. Would they were bringing in the cows and stuff, were they slaughtering them for their meat that was now radioactive?
They were transporting them just from the radiation being around the electronics while transporting had messed them up. They were just switching them from train track to train track on the, it's like a switcher station. And they noticed that it was only when the irradiated livestock was going through. It was none of the other stuff that they were passing through the system. So that's why they were like, they looked into it. The one guy looked into it. They never did. They just kept replacing their equipment until somebody looked into it and found out that it was from the Chernobyl deliveries.
So they, you don't know what they actually did with the animals.
They went to market for a long time.
That's what I was worried
about. Yeah, okay. They did.
It's interesting to hear you talk about it because clearly you've done the research.
Yeah, no, they went to market. There's a lot of things that came out of Chernobyl for a while there, unfortunately, for a lot of, you know, people in the areas around there.
It's crazy.
Radiation's okay, a tough one.
Give us one more, kid. Give us the juiciest one you got.
Well, all right. So I got two for you because they're both kind of like quick, light ones that are kind of fun. This one I just thought was hilarious.
I said one, Danny's.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you
I would get one.
This one I just thought was hilarious. The FBI has been struggling to hire hackers because of the FBI's strict hiring rule that applicants must not have used marijuana for the last 3 years. They can't get any hackers because all the hackers smoke pot and then they quit. They have to quit for 3 years.
So it takes three. So if you want to get into the FBI, you can't have anything in your system for 3 years, that you're saying. How would they know that?
They put you up to a polygraph.
They do a lie detector test and they'll ask you several times.
I could beat that stone cold in my sleep.
Put the thumbtack.
No, I would be the worst.
Denny's, haven't they loosened that requirement with regards to marijuana recently?
You wonder if they'll loosen it. I don't know though. If you're getting in the FBI, you probably shouldn't be smoking pot, maybe.
They say too, like even in states like Colorado, like on the application process, like if you have, like if you're from a state and you can legally smoke it, you still can't apply. You have to wait 3 years and of no smoking.
Even businesses can still deny you too if it's legal in your state as well.
Well, they're gonna give you a lie detector too. You apply for UPS, they're going to say 3 years, get them on the lie detector test.
Maybe.
I'm going in on you like Birdie went in on you.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Interesting. If you're a bad criminal, you're getting arrested. If you're a good criminal, you're getting arrested. If you're a phenomenal criminal, you're getting hired by the FBI.
Totally.
Talked about, right? Let's Catch Me If You Can, Leonardo DiCaprio's role.
Yeah, there's the guy who initially hacked Sony's PlayStation. He I forget his name, but that guy got hired by Sony to help them not get hacked after he got out of jail and stuff. But they arrested him first. He spent a couple of years. But yeah, no, that's pretty cool. That's how it works now. In fact, they have companies, I've mentioned before, but they have companies that are designed to hack businesses, and then they write the company essentially, you know, blackmail them saying, hey, we're going to release how to do this unless you pay us X amount of money. And they have companies like where they get people together just to solely do that to larger companies.
I feel like you could blackmail them back though and go, well, what you did is illegal. So if you, now that you've given me your email address and your name, like, can't you report the person and send them to jail?
No, well, because it's all encrypted and you have to pay them in Bitcoin. And I just watched a thing. They had a person on the news recently where they hacked him, and his recommendation to companies, because they'll bring him in as a consultant after they've been hacked. And his recommendation, usually, not always, it depends on the context of the situation, is to pay him. And there's a hacker's kind of law of etiquette that if you pay them, they don't release it out into the dark web. Because the first time that someone does that after they got paid will affect the rest of them from getting paid in the future. So mm-hmm. they have this kind of
black market code.
Exactly. So what they usually recommend, in $45 million, based on this one story they were talking about, it's a lot of money. And that's the only way they're going to get all of their data, all mm-hmm. of their everything back. We talked about this, I think the KVJ show talked about it. It was a recent thing. Like a year ago, Riviera Beach of all got hacked. They had to pay in Bitcoin. And Riviera Beach made a calculation. As much as it sucks, the best situation outcome was for them to pay.
It's so crazy.
People should pay a lot more for cybersecurity and insurance, because they have insurance for that kind of stuff.
Interesting. Well,
it's funny now how people, and I get it, man. I fall victim to it too, because it sucks. You have to have like 10 passwords. You have to change it every like 3 months and all this stuff. And it's such a pain. But if you think about it, it's worth protecting. Everything you own now is on the internet. Like, it's almost more valuable, the information you have, than stuff in your house sometimes. Sure. If somebody steals your laptop, it's almost way more devastating than if somebody comes in and steals your couch or TV.
Take my couch, take my TV, don't take my laptop.
Laptops are devastation. So it's just weird how our tangible possessions have become intangible.
Well, Denny's, great stuff on the random facts. I think you did great, kid. I think you did real good. A couple more things I want to get to before we sign off today. What are your guys' thoughts when it comes to gurus? And I'm talking more of like a guru that talks about knowing, you know, like a self-help guru. Do you trust the person that acts like they've got their life completely in order? Now, keep in mind, they're just a human here. Do you think it's all business? They're just making money? Or do you think there's something, there's some humans out there that really do know the human condition, that are out there trying to help people for the better? Let's start with you, Vicky. Gurus, bullshit or good?
I would say the percentage of the ones that are good would be a lot smaller than the percentage than the ones that really don't have their crap together. We're all human beings, you know. Yeah, you can like hone a craft, or, you know, use a catchphrase enough where everybody thinks that you got it going on, but there's not one formula that's going to fit everybody. So that may work for them and maybe a few other followers, but think of all the masses that are being missed by it. So, not impressed.
I mean, Denny, what's your definition of a guru?
So I think it's kind of warped over the years, but I guess
I kind of feel like it has too.
Yeah, like if I was to honestly think what I figured a guru is somebody who's gone through some things and can help you go through some things as well. A person who's experienced life, I guess, to a higher extent than you.
But now if you have a guru trying to help you, but attached to that is $749 a month, I can help you become the best person ever. It starts to make you kind of rethink that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you can find guru like qualities in just even your circle of friends, you know, people. I think you can have collective guru more so than just a person who travels.
And- well, you, Beck, you are a Tony Robbins fan, and he's considered a guru of some sorts. And I've heard you talk in a positive light for, you know, towards him. He's great. He motivates people. On the other end, I have seen people rip him apart, calling him a shyster, saying he is absolutely terrible. Where do you fall in all this?
Well, I'm a big fan of the saying, no good deed goes unpunished. So the more successful you get, the more people are going to try and take shots at you, tear you down, number one. Number two, I agree with Denny's. You know, you can find gurus in your inner circle, people that are really famous that are gurus. And I think the important thing is testimonials. I don't really care if you went to Yale or you didn't even go to college. If you have helped a lot of people, then that's what's important to me. And I have some friends that are psychologists and psychiatrists that are some of my craziest friends that I know, but I feel like they have a little crazy, so they're able to bridge that gap. Some of my friends do rehab. They work at rehab therapy clinics and whatnot, and they were former addicts. And they are able to help addicts because they understand that. So I think it's important, you know, we say the word cognitive dissonance. So they're able to bridge that gap of, in terms of relatability. And in terms of a guru, the person needs to receive the message. You're great. Someone could be great about delivering a message, but you got to want to absorb it. And you need to respect that person that's giving it to you. So, you know, that goes into leadership. And I think that that's important. So I think that it just depends. And, you know, like we said earlier, take everything with a grain of salt, like Vicky said. And I think that sometimes a guru could change someone's life. And I think for another person, it could fall flat. So it just depends. But if someone's meaning to do good, then try it out and don't bash the person if it doesn't work for you.
Okay, I appreciate that. We are running out of time. I'm not trying to cut everybody off, but I do want to get Bergney. You had a story that you wanted to talk about, and I'd like to end the podcast with that because I thought it was interesting. Go ahead and you have the floor, Bergney. Bring your topic to the,
all right,
to the people.
So for any of you science nerds out there, I'm not sure if you saw it trending, but apparently NASA's researchers say that upside down cosmic ray shower may be evidence of a parallel universe in Antarctica. So, I mean, it goes with the theme of 2020, I guess. Everything that you thought couldn't happen is happening. But essentially what they're saying is that a lot of the times they find particles that beam from space, and then you can find those particles inside of the ground. But what they're finding is that the ice is emitting these particles that don't apply to the physics in our world. They go backwards. So essentially what they're saying is this parallel universe would be where time is going backwards. And they think a lot of these particles are kind of traveling to and from these different parallel timelines, because they'll be there, then they're gone, then they're back. So that was the article that I saw. It's pretty interesting. There's been theories like that before with quantum physics when it comes to particles and dimensions. It's definitely interesting. It may answer why we're living in the darkest timeline right now, but if any community fans get the joke.
Okay, I appreciate that, oh, Brittany. Do want to go ahead and talk about, we are on YouTube this week. I personally like YouTube better than Facebook. I feel like there's less glitches. But here's what I need from you, the people. Unfortunately, like the last three or four videos we had done, we didn't get much interaction. And I hate getting on the horn here and saying, guys, you got to get interaction there. But it looks really terrible if a video uploads and nobody puts any kind of comments down there. Because once this video uploads, all these comments don't really matter. So if you could, do me a favor. If you want us to say on YouTube, make sure this thing is healthy, put comments down there. That's the only way we're going to be able to stay on YouTube, unfortunately. So the question of the week is this. Do you believe in signs? And if you do believe in signs, in the comment section below, let us know your story. I told the story about how my laptop fell over and it died. Then I heard the song and I thought that was my mom. We read a couple emails about signs. Are you a person that believes in them, or do you think they are a bunch of horseshit? Yes or no? Give us some love in the comment section so we can continue to do this on YouTube. Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Weird Whatever podcast. We love you all, and Bigfoot is real.